And these lawsuits are wending their way through the courts right now as we speak. Now we know that no lawsuit of and by itself is going to win without people in the streets pushing them forward. But we've gotten a lot of momentum out of this. So I'd like to introduce Patty Heffley, and also to let you know that Carol Spooner, who is the main person pushing this lawsuit from California, will be here next week. And we're going to be holding another meeting like this with Carol and bringing us all together again. This is Patty Heffley.
Thank you. Once again, hi, Patty Heffley. There are three lawsuits at this time. One lawsuit, the most recent, is brought by two of the members of the National Board against the National Board. Those are Aaron Kriegel and Robbie Robinson, two members of the board. They are bringing the lawsuit against the rest of the board. They have not been allowed to fulfill their responsibilities. We hope that four or five of the other positive board members will also join with them against the complete board. The second suit is the called the Adelson suit, and it is brought by Dave Adelson of the KPFK board in Los Angeles. And they brought their suit first. That was last year around the takeover in Berkeley. They have depositions going on as we speak. They've already deposed Lynn Chadwick, who was the person before Bessie Walsh, and they will be here in New York City next week deposing, I suppose, some national board members here and perhaps some staff at the station. I'm not really sure. The David Adelson suit is a local advisory board member, and it includes other members of the other local advisory boards. It's not brought by the boards themselves, but by members of the local advisory boards. And that's the Adelson suit, formerly known as Siegel and Yee. The third one is the listeners' lawsuit, which we can all be involved in.
That's
right. It's a suit. The paper's gone around. This one here, you can sign it and pass it in. There's an address on the bottom where you can donate money. They need money. Lawsuits cost a lot of money. They were brought last year, and on September 15th, they were given standing to sue in the state of California by the Attorney General. The papers were served at the National Board meeting, and you can actually see that video of Mary Frances Berry getting her lawsuit served to her at the nyc.indymedia.org site. And it's quite the thing to have a look at, for sure. What the purpose of the action, it's brought by 12 litigants. I am one. Carolyn Burden over here is one. And John Biello from the New York area. Then there are nine other members. The purpose of this action is to restore Pacifica to its founding purposes as set forth in its articles of incorporation and to remove directors for breach of charitable trust and gross abuse of authority and discretion, as well as directors who have been unlawfully seated. Safeguard Pacifica from ever again being subverted by a small conspiratorial cabal and to vest the listeners' bonds with voting rights and legal membership status. They're seeking the remedies is removal of all the directors of the executive committee, removal of all directors illegally seated since October 99, removal of directors illegally seated for other reasons, and the accounting of all Pacifica funds from 1994 to current, of which nobody knows if there's a deficit or not, because no one has ever seen the books. Can you believe that? And an amendment of the bylaws and election of the new directors to bring it back into order that we have control. Now, there's things you can do. You can sign the suit and pass it in. There's already like more than 4,000 signatures, which you can be part of it, and they need money, like I said. If you're interested, you could just call the hotline. Leave there in a By tonight or so, there will be the address where you can send money and the instructions. You could call the one hotline, the CDPNY hotline, 212-465-7562. And you can go to any of the websites mentioned and you'll find the Committee to Remove the Pacifica Board website, and you can look over and see all the documents that are there. But we need money, and we have a chance with the lawsuits. It's really the only way, one of the ways, along with people power, that we can beat these guys. Because if we lose the lawsuits, it's going to be a problem. Thank you.
Hi, folks. Just a quick reminder. Sign-in sheets and those little 3x5 index cards should be passed to the front if we filled them out. That will really help us to pass them to the sides, not to the front. S-I-D-E-S, sides. Thank you.
So would you folks prefer to freeze on the outside of the demonstration on the 6th or the 13th?
Both.
Try shouting all at once. Okay. How many people would like to do a demo on the 6th? How many would like to do it on the 13th? Okay, so how about we start on the 6th and see if we need to do another one on the 13th? How about 12 noon at 120 Wall Street?
Times Square.
Okay, we're going to set it tentatively for January 6th at 12 noon. It's a Saturday. Check your calendars before you yell at me. At the station at 120 Wall Street, 10th floor perhaps. And if you'd like to work on the demonstration, please sign up for the election, sign up for the Action Committee, and then we will meet about it and discuss it further. But so set your calendars for now for the 6th of January. Remember, it's going to be hard to get this on the air, so you cannot depend upon the same people who we had depended on in the past, except for a few of them. Okay. Everybody shouting at the same time. We're gonna ask, open it up for several more questions.
Bob,
you're
try to do is be expeditious. Get Bob here for 2 minutes, 2 strict minutes. We're going to get Robert Knight and then Amy Goodman. We're going to get a few questions, and we are going to move this machine along. All right?
For those of you who don't know Bob Bass, who's been with the station forever, the last go-round in 1977, I believe, Bob Bass was dragged out of the station in handcuffs by the Pacifica National Board, and has a lot of experience in what's going on now. So let's appreciate Bob Bass. Certainly is an indication that despite the claims that WBAI is dysfunctional, we are doing something right. And the next thing I want to say is I hope someone can tell me where we're heading. Lincoln County Road, Armageddon. As I can tell you, I have been down this road before. I have a radio program at the moment, unless they take it away. I'll be on the air tomorrow evening, so I'm really not going to say very much. But I would like to say, from my own experience, when someone is in the barrel, as Bernard and Valerie are, and they're being rolled downhill, and they're pouring in pitch, and they're getting the feathers ready, it's very important that they be supported.
That's right.
Should be some kind of money raised to keep them alive, to replace the salaries that are gone, to help support their families and their lives. And I'll be on the air tomorrow, maybe, after midnight. I hope you'll call. I hope there won't be a gag rule. I've heard early warning signs of gag rules already, and I hope it's just like a temporary indication to the counter of one of the most incredible lies that I've heard about already, and there have been a lot of lies. The lie that this is not a crisis.
Yeah.
It is not yet a catastrophe. But it is a crisis, and in the past, I've seen a lot of crises at WBAI that came very close to being catastrophes. And if we can manage to get through this the right way, we can turn this into a triumph.
Creative writer, I am the host of Earthwatch, and I think
I am the morning news anchor.
Yeah, right.
You wouldn't know that to listen. Because not only has the heart and core of Wake Up Call been nuked by the interim manager in a non-change of format, during a time of non-crisis, in a process that is without process. When I watch the commercial news, they say, when we come back, we're going to tell you what happened. And I concluded that when they say, what we're going to tell you, is they're busy not telling you. Sometimes when people talk about process, that's their way of avoiding it. The banning of people who have put decades of brick into this institution is illegal, improper, unfair. The threatening of arrest, the court orders must be immediately revoked. All of the people they are fucking caught back today. I have not been doing the news, although my last conversation with the interim manager is that I am the news anchor, but I go in and the newsroom is locked. Today, a half dozen people from finance, from premiums, from all other departments, Wake Up Call, Democracy Now, were locked out, sitting on the couch. The interim manager says, this will be a regime of respect. You will respect me. Well, hey, she's a huge personality. Let's see if she can grow. Let's see if she can grow into respecting her co-workers to do their job. Respect also involves respect for intelligence. There have been, in this non-crisis, brought in by the station manager, because Bessie Wash, the executive director of Pacifica, told me in a personal conversation yesterday that the guards, the firings, and the bannings were Utrice's call. So what can be uttered can be recalled, Nespa. We must help Utrice grow. Then we will have respect.
Now,
I just want to say one other thing in this short time here, and that is, tell me, sister. There has been the implantation of an alien culture on the plantation. I go to work and I find myself surrounded by security guards. We asked about this little thing in a staff meeting yesterday. Utrice said, these are my friends? Can I bring my friends? Would y'all like to come and speak to the family? Now, check this out. Utrice is afraid of you. Utrice is afraid of you because she is on a learning curve and a job bigger than she's ever had before, and she needs our help. She needs our help. She's afraid that you're going to riot, play, burn, destroy, disrupt. Oh, when I hear those words, disrupt, neutralize the station. Please tell her you're not going to do that, and that she can remove her friends who are stationed at every strategic turn of the alleyway and the corridors in the station, creating the chilling effect so that the engineer who produces the news is watched by one. Others of us cannot meet in the hallway without fear to report back to her friends, by her friends. Now, this is very important, final point. I have the utmost of love and respect for my jail keepers. No, serious. These are very evolved gentlemen from an agency called the United African Movement. Spell it backwards, Mau Mau. U-A-M-M-A-U. And they have, in those moments that I've been able to gain access to the station, been very cordial and polite. Many of them listen to and love the same shows you do. Eutrice says they're her bodyguards, that people are concerned about her safety. And yet, if they're Eutrice's bodyguards, how come they don't leave the station when she does? It is a chilling effect. It is the misuse of negritude, because they are all black. They are all black. And these are honorable men. We must respect them and lovingly have Eutrice remove them from the station, removing the chilling effect, allowing access to the station, because the only radio that's working there now under this punitive admissions regime, which in the staff meeting she said will continue for weeks more. It is not true what she said that it ended Tuesday. We must lovingly have them removed from this place of curious contradictory jeopardy and assignment, because they are learning too much about the operation of this radio station, and we are learning too much about security. Thank you.
Pacifica station was moving into its 50th anniversary year. Going to have big celebrations, raise large amounts of money. Had a very popular general manager. Her contract was not renewed, to the shock of most people in the Berkeley Bay Area community. That started a cycle that was horrific for KPFA and all of Pacifica that has rippled through to today. You know that KPFA is the first Pacifica station. It was started in 1949 by a man named Lou Hill, who came deeply out of the anti-war movement, who had served time in prison, conscientious objector, came out of prison and said, there's got to be a media outlet that is not run by corporations which build a drumbeat to war, but run by journalists and artists. As one activist recently said, corporations with nothing to tell and everything to sell. We have to have something different. And that's how Pacifica was born. That is the Pacifica we must preserve. We are Pacifica, and we must protect the only independent media network in this country. And then the staff was arrested, the station was closed down. This came after an errant email that came from one of the board members, Michael Palmer, who is now the treasurer, who suggested in an email, which he said he mistakenly sent to the leading media democracy activist in Berkeley instead of to Mary Frances Berry, the chair of the board, that said, we must continue the conversations about the possible sale of KPFA and then look at WBAI. He said it was a terrible mistake, not what he had written, but that it went to the wrong email address. That's what ultimately was the final shot that led to the protests, the closing down of the station, the arrests of the staff, and ultimately 15,000 people marching in the street that led to finally the reopening of KPFA and some hope that the management at Pacifica, and again, I worship Pacifica. I believe that we are all Pacifica, and it is only us that can be its savior. All of the listeners around the network, all of the producers inside the stations, we must preserve, sanctify, we must save our radio network as we move into the next millennium. Serious attack with the most recent firings and bannings and who knows what next. Okay, we have a new president-elect. His name is George W. Bush. He's lost by more than 500,000 votes in this country, but he has been chosen to be the president of this country. He has just chosen his cabinet. John Ashcroft, he wants to be the Attorney General, who praises the Confederate leaders, Robert Lee, who praises Jefferson Davis, who had more than 100 slaves, and who talked about the importance of the institution of slavery. This man from Missouri, who lost to a dead man for the Senate race, is now possibly going to be the next Attorney General, who wants a human life amendment attached to the Constitution. One of the most radically conservative members of the Senate will be the determining the laws of this country. And then another cabinet minister, another member of the cabinet that George Bush has proposed, the former head of Alcoa Aluminum, named as the worst polluter in this country, Tommy Thompson, the governor of Wisconsin, who has gone after women in terms of reproductive rights and poor people around this country, is the leader in welfare reform. He is the nominee to be the head of Health and Human Services. Why talk about this tonight? Look at WBAI and where we are now, as we are under attack. Obviously, what could be a worse time? And yet I hear from one member of the board that another member of the board said, after Democracy Now! Covered the Republican convention, that this could mean trouble if there is a Republican administration put into place. After the Republican convention, Pacifica pulled our credentials so that we could not cover the Democrats in the same way that we covered the Republicans at the Democratic convention. This is very ominous. We must be out there with single mind, narrow focus, looking at who is running this country, and by extension is the superpower, and the most important superpower in the world, who is running the world. And yet, look, we are turned in on ourselves. But it is a critical time. It is a critical time to rise, not just as a voice of dissent in the world, in the media world, but yes, for ourselves. Because if we are not there, who will be there for us? We must be there for us. After the firing of that Isler, the staff got together and they said they would not accept this. That this is not come from the body itself of WBAI. We're supposed to be autonomous institutions. Yes, our licenses are owned by Pacifica. This does not come from us. And when the executive director of Pacifica came in, we handed her a petition of almost everyone in the room that said, we demand the revocation of the firing of Valerie Van Isler. And then another meeting was held that Bernard White chaired, the program director, and again, the same things were repeated, the same petitions were signed by an overwhelming majority of the staff in the room saying that we do not accept the unilateral ouster of our general manager at a period of time when what? When our station is at our financially healthiest, our audience is growing. Of course, we need more money, we need more audience, but we are on an upswing. And WBAI is the home of Democracy Now! And one of the things that those who criticize us like to say is they are on the fringe and they are not willing to move into the 21st century. They don't want to grow audience. They say they don't want the money. Well, the fact is, nothing could be further from the truth, and that is why I believe we are so threatening today. The fact is that if you look at WBAI, if you look at Democracy Now!, which is simply WBAI writ large, the national WBAI, we have built audience to a level that Pacifica has never seen before. We have raised more money. Fundraising drives, it's not because we have not succeeded. It is because we have. And so Valerie Van Isler was taken out. The staff unified behind her and said, no, this is not the way the process works. We will decide. We can decide it together with Pacifica management. We can come up with criteria. We can set goals to meet. And if those goals aren't met, well, the person at the top takes the fall. But if they are met, then that person also takes the responsibility. And we determine who leads us. The fact is, it's not just one person who leads us. It is a whole management team. And that's where Pacifica moved next. After the period of time where we rallied support, and Bernard led that support, that's when the next move of management was made. I even hesitate to say Pacifica, because we're Pacifica, and we can never stop identifying with this absolutely glorious institution that is the only independent media network in this country. And last Friday night, in what many are calling a Christmas coup, it was on the eve of Christmas, on Friday night, late at night, the executive director came in, together with the newly installed general manager, Utrecht Lee and Bessie Wash, but I don't want to make this personal, that isn't the issue. What we have to look at really are the trends and the forces at the top, especially looking at the Pacifica board. There are members of the board that come deeply out of grassroots communities around this country, but there is a majority of members on the board that represent very different interests that mirror the interests that run the corporate media in this country. And we have to be very focused on that. But on Friday night, Pacifica management moved in and they started changing the locks, door by door, at WBAI, something that we all feared. And at 1:50 in the morning, on Saturday morning, the newly installed general manager went to WBAI's airwaves and said, "I am delighted to announce that I am the new interim general manager of WBAI. There is no coup. There are no SWAT teams. It's only me," she said. And, well, it does look like that because she is the general manager. And, well, I've gotten ahead of myself because there is no program director. That happened a few hours later. There is a public affairs director slot that's now open because the current public affairs director has gone on leave, on sabbatical. And the morning show host has been taken out, along with some of the producers have been banned and fired. And so, in one set, 5 hours later, Bernard White was in his apartment, and there was a ringing of his door, a ringing of the doorbell downstairs, and a continuous ringing until he came down, and there was a messenger who told him to open a package, and there was a letter that said, "No, he doesn't have it, so I can't read it verbatim. It seems to be a new legal tactic, and I'm not sure what this is about," where you show the person the letter, you demand that they sign it. He didn't sign, neither did the producer who was fired an hour later, but either way, it's then taken away. So that you don't, you're used to big law firms drowning you in paper. Well, this seems to be the opposite. No evidence, but somehow you're informed. And he gets a letter that says, "You have been officially terminated. You are not to go to the station or it will be considered trespassing, and your possessions will be sent to you in the mail." In corporate America, there's this term, clean out your desk. He wasn't even afforded that courtesy. And now we're told that his door is locked because we don't want anything stolen from his office. We are told that the locks were changed to secure the facility. For whom? From whom? What is this form of security? We know what it is when people talk about that in terms of foreign policy, where securing in terms of states and other countries. What does it mean for WBAI, community radio? Securing it from the community? Now, he gets this firing letter. An hour later, Sharan up in Harlem, Sharan Harper, who is the producer of Wake Up Call, gets the similar visitor who comes to the door, shows her a package, she gets to open it, and again, it's a letter that says she's fired, but she cannot keep it, and the person is gone. That all happens early Saturday morning. And so Bernard White, our program director, long time, 20-year producer at WBAI, beloved host of Wake Up Call, is taken out, and so is the full-time producer of Wake Up Call as well. The mainstay of the station, it is the three-hour morning show that we rely on to keep the station strong, to raise money, to build audience, to inform the audience about all of the different events, and you heard all the people from all the different community groups that can't go on anywhere else in the city and around the country except here at this precious place that we must protect. A few hours later, a number of the staff started coming down to WBAI, and hundreds rallied outside WBAI. I called into the station on Friday night, asked the operations director if I could come down. He asked Utrice, who was standing next to him, and I heard through the phone, she said, "No, I'm not to be there." On Saturday, I asked if I could come in. No, I could not come in. But I was not the only one. It was not only me. I speak, by the way, tonight as an AFTRA member, but also many of the producers who are part of UE, United Electrical. By the way, Sharan Harper is the union steward, a shop steward at WBAI, who was fired. Never did she get a notice. Never was the process followed that she would go through if she was going to be fired. Just out of the blue, told she was out. Never given a reason. Bernard never given a reason. So many of the producers tried to go in the afternoon on Saturday. We're not just on-air producers. We work behind the scenes to produce our programs. They don't just happen magically when we go on the air. We tried to go in. Security said no. They called in police. Police pushed us out, and they said we would be arrested if we tried to go inside our own station where we have worked for 16 years, whether it's on Wall Street or on 8th Avenue, where I have worked for 16 years, and so many of those producers, well more, and some much less, some of the younger producers who have come into this station. And that is the community that is WBAI, and we were selectively locked out. It was a selective lockout. People were on the air, allowed on, but no one else. When our producer, Terry Allen, tried the next day to call the Turkish prisoners, and people were going to be on about the big Turkish protest that's happening in the prisons, 2,000 people on hunger strikes, scores of people who've died already, she had planned to have conversations with them well in advance. She was told that she had not put in for overtime, and so she could not walk into the station. Never had we been asked for this before. Clearly a pretext, and so she couldn't plan the show as we always have. But the bigger issue are all of the producers, are this community radio station that is WBAI that is right now under attack because two key members of WBAI have been summarily fired. And then when we came in yesterday, the first time we were allowed in on any kind of, as producers coming into the station, there was security there. And when we were called into a meeting, and one of the unpaid staff, volunteer producers of WBAI's wake-up call, Janice K. Bryant, tried to come in, she was told she was banned. And then Serene Roberts tried to come in, she was told she was banned. Eileen Sutton, we learn, was banned. Longtime freelance producer, reporter in the WBAI newsroom. We asked in the meeting, what's the criterion for someone to be banned? Why are they banned? What is it that we should not do? There is now a blacklist at WBAI. We don't know. We don't understand. It may be 20 degrees outside, but it's much colder inside WBAI right now. The security is there. The threat of the bannings are there. We were told they committed egregious acts. They know what they did. None of them know what they did. Have we done that? Are we next? That's what's clear. That is the thing that hangs over all of us. I did not know what was going to happen on Tuesday morning. My colleagues fired, not allowed in the station. I'm met by a memo when I come in. It's in our mailboxes and all over the station that if we facilitate the entry of our general manager, Valerie Van Isler, of our program director, Bernard White, of our wake-up call producer, Sharan Harper, into the facility, we will be severely dealt with.
Does that mean execution?
The security downstairs, longtime building security, who knows and welcomes us every morning, said to me there's some kind of court order out on them. If we see them down here, they are to be immediately arrested. We know about the criminalization of people, and people in particular of color, and we're doing it ourselves. We're going to call the police in. When we asked, you're calling the police in if they come in? We were told, oh, we're not doing that. We said, but if you say they're trespassing, we already learned what that meant on Saturday. The police were called in, and we were told we would be arrested if we didn't leave. What else does it mean? Everything is vague and yet so clear. We know what this all means from the last decade, is what it means in America. And I know I have to wrap up right now, but I think that we have a huge task to preserve and protect our station. This morning, when I came in hoping to be with my colleagues, Bernard not allowed in the station, and if we facilitate his entrance, we will be severely dealt with, not to mention what would happen to him. Our producer not there. I was told by the new morning show host, Chloe, that nothing has ever been explained to me. After they said, what are you doing here? I said, my job? Bernard and I have done Wake Up Call for the entire 6 years. We started that program with the support of the community and the staff and hope we carry on this awesome responsibility that is welcoming people every morning with people speaking from all over the world to you at your kitchen tables. And we hope that that kitchen table will still be populated by the people that you've come to expect and rely on. The more of you,
around this country as they fight almost every way that disability activists try to get access worked into regulations or housing, etc. The people on the board being those that write memos that say we have to seriously consider the sales of these stations. Yes, we know we're precious and valuable, and maybe BAI could be worth $150 million, but it is worth so much more. You know that. Thank you. Chile, very important now as we continue to cover Pinochet once again being freed in Chile. WBAI, known so well for the kind of work it's done over decades around the coverage of that. For every one torturer, there are 1,000 people ready to risk their lives, ready to save another. For every soldier who shoots in a neighborhood, there are 1,000 compañeros who help and protect each other. There are more than 1,000 people who came out tonight. There are more than that, obviously. Each one of you represents 1,000 people. We thank you for your support. We can show Pacifica the way. We are Pacifica. Let's build and protect ourselves into the next life.
by going to church and thinking that that is what religion is about. No, the work is outside of the church, not on the inside. So if you came to work, if you came to protect your station, don't leave. All right? Also, I want you to remember the first casualty of war is the communications. Don't let our communication be taken. January 6th. January 6th, we are looking tentatively to do a demonstration. January 6th, people have asked what they can do. I'm going to get to that, but what we need to do is let some people get their questions off, and we're going to go through 5 people to let them get their questions off. So please bear with us. And I'm going to ask you to be quick and concise and to the point. There are masses and we must move.
So don't leave. Huh?